Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Today on The Brian Lehrer Show, Joe Nocera on Amazon as the book-selling mafia, as one publisher delicately put it the other day. Also today, the U.S. and the Taliban in a prisoner exchange. But wait, do we do that with suspected terrorists? An informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific call-in poll for UFT members today as we await the results of your tally. How did you vote on the teacher's contract settlement with Mayor de Blasio, yes or no? And RX for the BX, Prescription for the Bronx, the new WNYC series that premiered on Morning Edition. Our contribution today, how Obamacare and Medicaid reform are changing life for home health care aides and their patients. But first, did the Working Families Party get rolling over the weekend, or did it get rolled in what may be the biggest drama in Governor Cuomo's reelection campaign? He did get the endorsement on Saturday night of the Progressive Working Families Party in an apparent deal in which Cuomo promised to abandon his support for Republican control of the state Senate. Or did he? New York Times Albany correspondent Thomas Kaplan joins us with the blow-by-blow from the WFP and what it might mean for working families' priorities like a minimum wage pegged to inflation, an expanded abortion rights law, and more. Hi, Thomas. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks for having me.
And in a few minutes, we'll talk to the candidate who lost the nomination fight to Cuomo, Fordham Law Professor Zephyr Teachout. But I read that before the delegates voted to endorse Cuomo Saturday close to midnight, he was like a punching bag for their speeches for about 4 hours. Can we start there? Who was talking trash about Andrew Cuomo from the convention floor?
Well, most of the liberal activists who make up the Working Families Party, or at least many of them, are quite frustrated with the governor. And this was, I saw one person describe it as kind of a group therapy session about the governor's time in office. And, activist after activist got up and spoke criticizing him. There were supporters there, but sort of more institutional supporters, labor leaders, Mayor Bill de Blasio. But for kind of the party rank and file, this was an opportunity to vent frustration that has built over the past couple of years.
So here's an example of the unhappiness from Delegate David Schwartz in a New York One interview.
Oh, the frustration with Cuomo is very clear. It's first and foremost economic inequality. It's tax cuts for the wealthy, the end of the bank tax.
So would you say he got it in a nutshell there, what the frustration with Cuomo is? Taxes on the wealthy, really tax cuts on the wealthy, and his refusal to go along with de Blasio's tax hikes on the wealthy for the city, his non-position on fracking, and his support for charter schools. You think those are the three biggest beefs that WFP rank and file have with Governor Cuomo?
Yeah, I think that sums it up. The governor has really, over the past couple of years, forged a kind of unique political brand, being progressive when he sort of picks his spots, pushing for gay marriage, for instance, strict gun laws, but also being somewhat toward the right on economic issues, wanting to cut taxes, cut government spending, hold down government spending. This year, cutting taxes on corporations, on Wall Street banks. And these are things that the Working Families Party rank and file sort of find, a number of them find kind of outrageous.
Now, for those of our listeners, and I think we may have a few, who chose to go out to the movies or something on Saturday night instead of stay home and follow this blow-by-blow on Twitter, set some more of the scene for us. Where was this convention? Who was there? How emotional was it? How raucous was it? What was this Working Families Party convention like as you saw it as a reporter?
Was at a hotel near the Albany airport, and it was kind of a day-long event, a few hundred attendees, and the main event was in the evening. It was when the decision would be made on which candidate to back for governor, and the big question throughout the day was, would Governor Cuomo show up? Would he speak via video or Skype or do something, and what would happen? And there had been rumors that kind of started to trickle out late Friday night that the governor had kind of agreed to concessions with leaders of the Working Families Party that he would support, you know, a variety of progressive measures that maybe he had supported in the past but had not been particularly outspoken about, or the big thing, that he would support Democrats in the state Senate. So this was on everyone's mind, and the question was kind of, would the governor actually say all these things? And then would that be enough to placate a lot of the delegates who were quite frustrated with the governor but were sort of weighing the repercussions of abandoning him?
And we'll get into what some of those agenda items are in a minute with you and with Zephyr Teachout. But true or false, the bottom line here is that the Working Families Party itself is a progressive house divided. The real reformers who care about the issues and they wanted to abandon Cuomo, versus the union leaders, like from the Healthcare Workers 1199 and many of the public sector unions, who were too afraid Cuomo would punish them in the pocketbooks because he has so much power. Is that a fair way to characterize it?
For sure. There was this divide that became very apparent, especially in the last couple of days before the convention. And the unions, many of them, wanted to stick with the governor. They sort of, by their nature, you know, are more more transactional, more pragmatic in a way, because, you know, they're used to cutting deals. And their view was, you know, this guy is most likely going to be reelected. He's been good to a number of the unions, and why go to war with him? And it really pushed the party kind of to the brink. On Friday, the day before the convention, there was even talk that maybe some of the unions were going to come out publicly and say, you know, we can't be part of this party anymore if, you know, the party is going to draw what some union leaders perceived as kind of an unreasonable line in the sand with Governor Cuomo.
So the union bosses won the day over progressive ideals. Fear won the day over principled dissent.
There were certainly some delegates who thought that way, but I think the leaders of the Working Families Party and other delegates saw the concessions the governor agreed to as making it worth it, that maybe it would be kind of a tough pill to swallow to support him. But if he follows through on what he's promised and supports a Democratic takeover of the state Senate, the benefit from that would far exceed kind of maybe the emotional satisfaction of rebuking the governor.
Now, listeners, help us report this story. Who listening right now was there on Saturday night in the Albany suburb of Colony? Any Working Families Party members want to chime in here? Tell us a story of what you did or saw or heard, and what do you think of the whole thing? And we'll hear Cuomo in a minute from that, I guess, controversial or much negotiated speech that he developed or delivered via video to the convention. But if you were there, folks, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692 for New York Times Albany correspondent Thomas Kaplan, who was there. And also joining us now is the candidate who ran against Cuomo for the nomination, Fordham University law professor Zephyr Teachout. Professor Teachout, good morning. Thanks for coming in.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
Why did you run against Governor Cuomo in the first place for the Working Families Party nomination?
I ran because what I see in New York is the system is rigged. And I think Cuomo is part of that broken system. And so he's not going to fix it. I've been really disappointed with him, as I think most New Yorkers have, on what he's failed to do on education, and worse, what he's proposed on education. He's really starving our schools. And I've been sort of horrified at the way in which Thomas was talking about his unique political brand. I think his unique political brand is the way in which he uses governmental power for personal political ends. And so I don't just disagree with his policies. I am very concerned about the way in which he serves the few and not the entire state.
On starving public education, he would say, look, when Mayor de Blasio said, let me raise some money in the city for universal pre-K, he said, I'll use state funds for universal pre-K statewide. And in addition, increase the general funding for K-12 education statewide. What's your response?
Well, I want to look, when Cuomo actually gives something, it's because he's forced to do it. And one of the reasons I ran and ran until Cuomo, you know, I ran all the way to the end of the convention, is because I believe the pragmatic approach towards actually changing the structure of power in this state is to use the democratic tools that we have. So I think what happened at the convention last night was, you know, I don't agree with the deal. It wasn't my deal, but I understand that those who supported it felt like it was the pragmatic way. But those who opposed it also believed it was the pragmatic way. That had I been the candidate for the Working Families Party for the next 5 months, we could have pragmatically, powerfully continued to demand action on public financing of campaigns, on restructuring our economy, and on funding our schools.
Because there would have been a real public debate with you on another ballot line that has some significant support.
That's exactly right. And debate is not therapy. Debate is power. I'm still considering running against Cuomo in the Democratic primary. I'm trying to figure out, whether we're going to have the resources. I know we have the support. I know New Yorkers want an economy and a democracy that works for everyone, not just the few. And I'm looking forward to thinking about that over the next 5 or 6 days.
And that primary would be in September, so there would at least be a summer of debate. What about an independent candidacy on some other line and go until November?
Well, I think these are all questions I'm going to have to figure out in the next 5 days, and I'm really going to be looking to hear people, whether they want a run against Cuomo, whether they want to, hold power to account and have a genuine debate about not just, right now I'm afraid that so many people are asking for a New York we can just sort of settle for, and I would really like to have a discussion and then end up in the governor's office working towards a New York that we really want to live in. This is an amazing state, and we can be so much better.
And what about the Working Families Party itself, which line you were running to get? They've been getting so much good press over the last year, if you're coming from a progressive standpoint, as, a party that's been rising in power in New York City and helping influence policies toward the progressive agenda, and even around the country now, and after the election of Bill de Blasio, who's close to the WFP, this kind of, Elizabeth Warren, Bill de Blasio block rising nationwide. Do we see now from this weekend that it's really union bosses over principled dissent, fear of retribution against the unions, over progressive ideals?
Oh, I know that's sort of a cute way to think about it from a press point of view. But, I'm sad I didn't get the line, but I'm still a Working Families Party Democrat. I intend to be working with the Working Families Party Democrats, even not as their nominee, over the next several months. It was a serious and difficult discussion about the right way to build power and change the state. But everybody in that room wants the same thing. We all want to work for the 99%, and we all see the problems of the way in which the current political class is working for the 1%.
Now, do you not see the things that the governor apparently agreed to fight for, either directly as pieces of legislation or indirectly by just working against Republican control of the Senate, as not very meaningful? I think some of these things include a couple of minimum wage items, letting the city hike its minimum wage higher than the statewide figure if it wants to. He opposed that on this show a few months ago. He said the state is one state. We don't want localities in New York State competing against one another. Also pegging future minimum wage hikes to inflation. There's also a strengthened abortion rights law, which the Republican Senate has been blocking, and public campaign finance reform is another big one. So if the governor is now going to fight for all these things, that's not enough for you to say, a good enough New York.
Brian, I will believe every single one of those things when I see it. And I will be, again, it wasn't my deal, but I will be holding the governor to account on every single one of those. And I think we all should be. But basically, I don't think the Governor Cuomo has actually proven himself that credible on his promises. So I would have liked to see action as opposed to words before an endorsement.
Like what kind of broken promise are you alleging here?
Well, the governor has one thing that's near and dear to my heart. I write about corruption. I organize around corruption. I have a book coming out this fall with Harvard University Press called Corruption in America. And I believe the thing that we need to do is pass a public financing system fully funded that allows people who would never otherwise run for office to come in and serve the public good instead of the few.
Wait, he's for that.
He has been for that for many years and had many, many opportunities to push that through. He has failed to do that. He told New York to trust him on this. And I think right now, the evidence is in. He's broken that trust. So for me, the moment that really flipped it for me was this year's budget. You know, I supported Cuomo. I was really excited about him taking on corruption. I was really excited about his support for fully funded fair elections. But when the budget came in and that wasn't there, I was on the fence about running, and I decided, no, this is not a moment for transactional politics. This is a moment for some kind of fundamental transformation.
Thomas Kaplan from The New York Times. Any questions for Zephyr Teachout before she goes?
Well, I would be curious, how you assess the, challenge of running on the Democratic line, if that's doable from a resource standpoint.
It's a great question. I'm trying to figure that out now. I have a fantastic team. We have the digital director of MoveOn, the former digital director of the Lamont campaign on board. I have a fantastic press and policy shop. We have policy ready to go. I'll probably be sharing it in the next week, even as we suss this out. But
and people who know your background know that you were prominent in the Howard Dean for President campaign 10 years ago. Is it people from that group who you're putting together at all?
Absolutely. I mean, if I run a campaign, it's going to be a people-powered campaign funded by low-dollar contributions in $25, $5. And my job and all of our jobs over the next week is to say, are those people out there who want to step up and say, we're going to put together a couple million-dollar campaign out of $15 instead of a Cuomo campaign out of $10,000 contributions?
And so am I going to hear you say, we're going on from Poughkeepsie to Utica to Chenango Forks to Blue Mountain Lake. Ah! No?
That was great. I'll be rehearsing that.
All right. Thomas, anything else?
I guess the only other thing, the question on Saturday night, Professor, was, would you stay in the race to the end after this kind of deal was brokered? How did you kind of weigh that issue?
I joined the race because I think that the governor is problematic on policy and not particularly trustworthy. Nothing changed. And because nothing changed for me, I was pretty clear that I was going to stay in the race and fight till the end. And I was so moved. I mean, here I was, unknown, just meeting the delegates for the first time. And we got over, we kept the governor under 60%, and I got so much love in that room. And it wasn't just for me, it was for this vision of a different New York. You know, I see the governor was basically running on fear, on, really implicit threats to those with institutional ties. And we were running on a combination of love and anger, and I'm hoping that can move us forward.
Zephyr Teachout, Fordham University law professor who ran against Governor Cuomo for the Working Families Party nomination for governor and lost in a vote on Saturday night. Thank you very much for joining us. And if you keep running, we'll keep talking.
Thank you.
And Thomas Kaplan, New York Times, political reporter, still with us. And we'll take some of your calls. Some people who are calling in who were at the convention over the weekend, and we'll get to you in a minute. But Thomas, you wrote up some of the behind-the-scenes melodrama over whether and how Cuomo would address the convention. We'll play a clip here in a second. But he didn't come and accept the nomination in person after this big fight?
He did not. And Governor Cuomo, one thing that he's been consistent about the past couple of years, he does not tend to appear in front of audiences unless they are enthusiastic audiences. This was the opposite of that. He would have been booed. He was booed when he addressed the convention via video, and my speculation would be that was just a crowd. He was not willing to appear in front of a crowd where it would have been embarrassing for him.
It's understandable, I guess. Here is a clip from the speech. My producer, who listened to the whole thing, says Cuomo never uttered the words nomination or accept. So was this before or after the vote?
This was before. The idea basically was that unless he spoke in some way and promised all these things, and the delegates actually, heard it from his mouth, they would not have voted for him. So this was kind of the key to persuade the folks in the room that, yes, they should, even if they don't want to, they should vote for him.
So this 49-second clip includes one of his central promises to the delegates before the vote.
The simple truth is, to make this agenda a reality, we must change the Senate leadership. We should start by telling the IDC that they must agree to return to the Democratic Party or face our unified opposition. And then we must tell senators who call themselves senators that they must support these items, or we don't consider them Democrats, and they will face our unified opposition. And then together, we must go out and we must win a majority of the seats in the Senate. It is that simple, but it is that sweeping, because that is the obstacle to making this agenda a reality.
Governor Cuomo via video before the Working Families Party nomination vote, which he did win the endorsement on Saturday night. And what he's referring to there, for those of you who don't know, is the Democratic Party's big internal battle in New York State. These five Democratic senators, led by Jeff Klein from the Bronx, who voted for Republican Dean Scalos for majority leader in exchange for Klein being made co-majority leader. So if Cuomo is promising to fight Republican control, Thomas Kaplan, is he going to endorse the Democratic primary challengers? He almost promised as much in that clip. They include Oliver Capel running against Jeff Klein in the Bronx, and John Liu running against Tony Avella in Queens, and I think at least one other.
He's issued something of an ultimatum. He said the independent Democrats, so-called independent Democrats, need to come back to the Democratic fold. And if they do not, then he would support primary challengers. So now we're waiting to see what will happen.
So that's the next peg in this story, is Jeff Klein, Tony Avella, Diane Savino on Staten Island. Will you promise, as you're running for re-election, to vote for a Democrat for Senate Majority Leader rather than a Republican, correct?
Right. That's the question now.
And any indication? Did you get to jump ahead of us on this and get any answers from them?
It is hard to say right now how this will play out. These independent Democrats were not pleased to hear the governor's remarks and hear of this deal. But they also need to think about their political future, and some of the primary challenges, even now, before sort of the governor's statements, are quite competitive. John Liu in Queens running against Tony Avella, that's going to be a very tough race for Tony Avella. So we'll see. But what's so sort of startling about this is how much of an about-face it is for the governor. In usual circumstances, a Democratic governor supporting Democratic state senators would not be unusual. That would be what you'd expect. But Governor Cuomo has conspicuously refused to support Democrats in the state Senate over the past couple of years. Time after time, they've all but begged him, and he's refused. And to kind of turn this abruptly is really something.
And is that so that he doesn't get a lot of very liberal legislation dumped on his desk, because then the Assembly and the Senate would be in liberal Democrats' control, very liberal legislation dumped on his desk that he might actually want to veto for his own political future, perhaps nationally, I don't know, or just for reelection. And this way he avoids having to come to that moment?
Exactly. That's been the thought all along, that under this arrangement with a divided control of the legislature, he has some amount of control because he can kind of find a middle ground and broker deals. And even he's had a television commercial running recently, you know, touting how he's been able to get Democrats and Republicans to work together. It's allowed him to not be pushed to the left when he doesn't want to be pushed to the left, both in terms of appealing to voters upstate who maybe are not as liberal, but also nationally, perhaps.
We have a few minutes left. Our next guest, by the way, is New York Times columnist Joe Nocera, who's going to get into the fray on James Patterson and his publisher Hachette, and really the whole publishing industry, versus Amazon, calling Amazon like the mafia and things like that. Do consumers win or lose from this fight, and who wins this fight? So Joe Nocera on that coming up next, and your calls from the publishing industry. But let's hear from a couple of you first, who may have been at the Working Families Party convention over the weekend or have thoughts about what you're hearing. 212-433-WNYC. And Kevin in Queens, you were there?
Yes, I was.
And who'd you vote for?
Well, actually, I was casting a proxy ballot for someone, and I abstained on the vote because I wasn't clear on how that person would have voted.
What'd you think about the whole thing?
I found it a very exciting convention. I see the debate a little different than it's being presented here. I have a union background myself, so I don't use terms like union bosses. They're elected officials as far as I'm concerned. And when they came in with the advice that, you know, the average worker is going to gain a lot more by this decision, then that's what influenced me.
Okay, thank you very much. And David on Long Island, you're on WNYC. Hi, David.
Hi.
Were you there over the weekend?
I was there, and I was a delegate, and I did ultimately. I'm also on the board of Citizen Action in New York and of the Long Island Progressive Coalition on Long Island.
Okay.
And I did vote for the governor, but I want to emphasize that. The many unions were in favor of the governor, but he would not have gotten the endorsement had he not agreed to that list of, the list of issues that we were insistent upon.
The things we mentioned, like minimum wage and public campaign financing and supporting the Democrats in the Senate only if they promised to support a Democratic majority leader, those specific things?
Well, absolutely. There were actually about six of them. There's also the Dream Act, you know, and there's the commitment on education. So there were six, the increase in minimum wage, the possibility for localities to go above that, up to 30% above that, if that's their desire, issues like that. So it was necessary from our point of view, certainly from the point of view of my organization and from the people I represent, that had to be agreed to and had to be agreed to quite explicitly and publicly.
With what leverage will you hold the governor to those promises? Because Zephyr Teachout, who was here a few minutes ago, who ran against Cuomo for the WFP nomination, said he's made promises like this over the years, especially on public campaign financing, and they're just lip service. He doesn't follow through.
Right. Let me say that, number one, she was excellent, and there was a great deal of enthusiasm for her, and there still is, and much appreciation for the position she took and the way she articulated and the way she pressured and emphasized the importance of whatever the result of that decision, that everybody get behind it cooperatively and work together. Mm-hmm. But there is an increased level of commitment on the part of major unions, several of them which had historically been very close or supportive of the Senate Republicans, others who have not been as clear and explicit on their commitment, and also the commitment of the mayor, with whom we have a close relation, about which we have great respect, and who has put his credibility on the line. So, I mean, if the governor does not, there are leverages now, mm-hmm. and there are commitments, and there are people who are committed in this way,
right.
and there are unions that are committed in a way which was not the case in the past.
David, thank you very much. I'm going to leave it there, but thank you very much. And Thomas Kaplan, before you go, he did mention Mayor de Blasio, and we haven't brought his name into this yet. Mayor de Blasio was there brokering this deal for Cuomo.
It's an amazing turn of events. If you think just a couple months ago, the governor seemed to be trying to skewer the mayor every chance he got. And here it was really the mayor who played an enormous role. The Working Families Party loves him. They trust him. And he stuck his neck out there and said, you can trust the governor. This will open a lot of doors for progressives if we can control the state Senate. And he was one of, if not the most important person in kind of negotiating this truce at the end of the day.
Oh, I'm going to sneak in Kevin in Levittown, who was at the convention and has some very specific reasons why there would be leverage over the governor to keep his promises. Is that right, Kevin?
Yes, Brian. How are you?
Good. What you got?
One of our biggest points, and what made me feel so comfortable by Sunday morning, the day after, so to speak, was hearing from Mike Gianaris, the senator from Queens, who is the head of the campaign committee for the Democrats, breathlessly presenting a presentation to us in the same hall where we had just voted about how important it was now through November to have a Democratic and WFP coalition working the ground, working the phones, working the internet for our candidates. The leverage that we have there, and that's mutual in the sense that Mike Gianaris is very happy because he's going to get all this money and support from the governor, that's true. In a sense, he's the midwife between us because he needs the ground support and the enthusiasm from our people.
But wait, no, he doesn't. Cuomo's going to get reelected in a walk with you or without you unless some bombshell that we can't anticipate comes down the river, right?
No, I'm referring to the Senate Democratic candidate.
Oh, I see. Right.
Which he's already blown up his bridges as the apoplectic comments from whether it's Mr. Klein, who also did not get our endorsement this weekend, or from Skelos, who seemed to be very upset
by
the comments.
That's who needs you. Right. The leverage is that these Democrats are now going to probably or possibly walk away from their coalition with the Senate Republicans, because otherwise they'll lose their primaries. Kevin, thank you very much. And New York Times political reporter based in Albany, Thomas Kaplan, thank you very much for talking about the Working Families Party convention over the weekend, which you covered.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Up next, Joe Nocera on Amazon as the book-selling mafia, as one publisher delicately put it. Stay with us.